The opinions expressed in Fandomology Reblog are individual and not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University.
Welcome back, listeners. I'm Sarah.
I'm Keisha.
And welcome back to another episode of Fandomology Reblog.
This episode is all about
the MCU.
Avengers Assemble. To start this episode, I want to talk about the whole reason why we actually made this podcast, which is the MCU.
Yeah.
And I remember the topic that we talked about was whether or not Iron Man or Captain America.
Yes. So I am a Captain America girly and you are Team Iron Man.
I am Team Iron Man, but I do love my fair share of Steve Rogers.
I mean,
and then I asked Sarah what they're like between two, Bucky or Steve, and they said,
okay, so it would be a really hard choice if they hadn't literally destroyed Steve's character in Endgame. So I have to go with my man Bucky. Sebastian Stan, I love you. Bucky Barnes, the White Wolf, Winter Soldier, I love I have so many thoughts and feelings about what they did to Steve's character in Endgame.
Yes.
And which is kind of what got us talking about this. And I was like, what if we just did a podcast about this? Because we talked for like hours. And I was like, now we only have 25 minutes. So we're going to try and like condense our thoughts.
And we will actually get to Winter Soldier and Bucky. I do have something to talk about.
Yay.
Later. But first, this the whole reason why we did this.
Oh my God.
Steve leaving Bucky. We both agreed that that was stupid.
It was so out of character for him.
It was so out of character. And as much as I love Hayley Atwell, she's mama. Love her.
Eva.
Controversial thought. A little bit. I think we both agree though. Mm-hmm. I thought the whole Peggy Carter thing with Steve in the main timeline, I say quote unquote main timeline, like Earth 616, it was kind of pushing it.
Kind of?
It was pushing it. Like, I felt like
it totally went against all of the canon rules of the MCU time travel laws.
And, like, before we get to the timeline laws, like, personally, I just think, like, he had his closure.
Yes.
He reunited with Bucky.
Peggy had her closure.
Peggy had her closure.
She moved on and had a family.
Bros before hoes.
Bros before hoes.
Bros before hoes. And, you know, like, they could have stuck it out together. Like,
they
could have.
I mean, like, literally, Steve literally has a line where he's like, when I had nothing, I still had Bucky.
Still had Bucky.
And then he left Bucky. And, like, Steve knows better than anyone what it was like to be a
to
man
be
out of time.
And also abandoned.
Yes. But also, like, the whole thing with a man out of time, where we see a little bit of it in the early Captain America movies, like Winter Soldier, where we see that Steve's really struggling with acclimating to, and in the first Captain America movie, we see how much Steve is struggling with being, we see how much Steve is struggling with being literally a man at a time. I mean, he crashed a plane and then in like the 40s and he wakes up and it's
70 years later.
70 years later, there's like smartphones, technology, like everything. Like that change has been crazy for people who were awake that whole time. Never mind, you go to sleep in the 40s and you wake up and it's now like the 21st century.
Yeah. And then,
and so, and I mean, like, yes, sure, Bucky, quote unquote, was awake at times during those 70 years, but it wasn't really him. It was the Winter Soldier.
It was the Winter Soldier.
And I don't really think the Winter Soldier was, like, experiencing, like, Y2K mania. You know what
like,
I mean?
Like,
I don't listen to
some Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah. Like, I don't really think that, like, Bucky at the time was, like, keeping up with, like, current technology and stuff.
That's another thing. Like, the differences is that Steve had the
Avengers
community, the Avengers, to keep him up to date. Like, he had a little book and a little thing. And Bucky, he didn't have anyone. Even when he came to, he didn't really have they were war criminals. That's another thing. That's a whole other thing.
We'll get into that later.
But yeah, the whole thing, like, because they were running away from the government, because Steve refused to sign the accords and everything, he didn't have that time to stop and really take it all in.
No,
because he was still on the run.
Bucky has been on the run basically he's like the only time he really had to like sit to himself was when he was in Wakanda after he healed with his goats.
Yes. Which I love that part. And, like,
I love it. It's so good. I'm like, there's my man. But like that's the only time he's had to like stop and like reflect on what's happened. And also, he also has the added stress of the fact that he still has memories of what he did as the Winter Soldier.
Exactly.
And so not only is he dealing with that PTSD, which we see in The Falcon, The Winter Soldier, there's also So that's like another layer onto his whole I'm in a whole new world. And for so, I mean, we see how it's affecting Bucky in Falcon Winter Soldier, where he's like, Steve was the only one who believed in me, and now he's gone. Steve's whole character arc, especially in the last two Captain America movies, was literally him going against the government and all of his friends, like his found family in this new world, for Bucky.
Yeah.
To save Bucky, where he was like, I don't care what anyone else says. He's my friend, and I'm going to save him. He was willing to let Bucky kill him.
And
you're telling me he just left him for Peggy, a woman he'd known for like 3 weeks?
No, because also I love Bucky and Sam's dynamic, which I will get into that later as well. But it's not the same because Bucky and Steve have known each other for way longer.
Like their entire
quite literally.
Lives. Quite literally almost their entire lives.
And they knew how they were before everything, before the during the war, before the war, and all that type of
like. I just feel like there was so, it just didn't make sense for his character. Like, I honestly would have preferred if Steve had just died in Endgame. Like, I get that we needed to phase out a lot of the main players in Phase One of the MCU.
They wanted to leave.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Evans was done. Robert Downey Jr. He was. I mean, even though he's back now,
but that's as Iron Man.
He'd played out his time as Iron Man, as Tony Stark.
I'm pretty sure he suggested Tony dying.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think it was the right choice because, I mean, it felt like the most natural way. And I feel like for them needing to get rid of Steve, him dying, like as much as it would have literally torn.
I'm tweaking. I'm crashing out. Sorry.
I'm crashing out. Like as much as it would have literally torn my heart out to have watched that because like I love Steve so much. It would have made more sense for his character. He was willing to do anything for his friends. Are we forgetting that he jumped on what he thought was an active grenade?
Bomb! And he was skinny still. He wasn't even Super Soldier.
No, that had nothing to do with the person who he was.
Yeah.
It just made him stronger and able to do more physically insane things.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to mention this quote now just because I think it's like, it fits.
Is it the arc scene one?
But it is.
Is it the arc scene quote? Go ahead.
It's I say it again later because I have it in my notes here. But not to be a perfect man, but to be a good one.
Yes, exactly. And that is like the definition of Steve Rogers. He would do anything for friends or even for just random people. And you're telling me, I'm like, oh, well, it was his turn to be selfish. He'd given up everything for everyone his whole life. He had known Peggy for like what? Like a couple months?
I actually don't know the timeline with Peggy, but
it's like not that long of time. It's like less than a year.
I'm pretty sure. Like, I know he wanted that dance and all, but I don't know. I just didn't like that route.
I think if he'd gone back, had the dance with her, and then left. I mean, like, okay, I gotta go now.
Like, I think
that would have been fine. You. I don't think I accept that. Like, even him getting stuck in the time stream.
Oh, yeah.
That also would have been an option. I also had another idea. It's like somehow things get messed up and he comes back and he's de-serumed and he's like, well, I can't like fight crime anymore. So I'm going to go like, I don't know, retire. But then I still would come up with the same issues. I was like, okay, then why is he not with Bucky?
I think I like told you that I honestly think, and I agree. I've seen people say this and I totally agree with them. If Tony or Nat was still alive, he would probably want to stay to keep Avengers up and running. But at the same time, like, why would he stay for Nat and Tony?
But not for Bucky. Or Sam.
That too.
Like, I honestly...
Sam the man.
Like, it just doesn't make sense with his character. Like, they spend all of these movies building an incredibly complex character that shows that he's more than just, first of all, like blind obedience to his country because he said, oh, I don't agree with what you're doing, so I'm going to go on the run and do my own things. I don't agree with you. He would go, like, he showed that he was willing to forge his way
into
the army.
Throwback to our first episode, Steve's pronouns are
USA! But also, they're also, I don't care. Because he is loyal to what America is supposed to be about, like freedom. Like he said, I don't like bullies. That's his whole thing.
His whole thing is like, I just don't like bullies. That's why he wanted to go into the war.
Yeah, and like this is a man who willingly like tried to like forge his way, like fraud his way into the military, even though he was like what, like 110 pounds, had scoliosis, asthma.
Scoliosis, asthma. He
flat feet,
was
flat, nearsighted.
Oh, yeah. He was blind.
Yeah, partially blind, colorblind, nearsighted.
He had so many problems.
He was like 5'4". On like a good day when his back wasn't too like curved,
and he does have an eidetic memory, so that's cool.
He does, yeah, but it's like that man who was, and like again he gets to the war and they're like, no, you're actually just gonna be kind of like a symbol. You're not actually gonna fight.
You're not actually gonna fight.
And then he finds out that Bucky has gone missing in action with the rest of the Howleys,
and he jumped on to the war against orders. Yeah, just to go find him.
And then again, it's like when he's leaving, he's like, go get out. When Bucky's like, go get out of here, he's like, no, not without you. And then he went without. So what happened to until the end of the line?
Right.
What the line ended? Apparently,
he literally bent his back so many times for Bucky, and then this like last moment,
and he just throws it all away.
He just throws it all away. It's like, peace out.
Peace out. Bye.
I love Peggy Carter. You know, like...
Like, he had... And also, okay, so... And the whole thing with also him going back to be with Peggy, which we... And the assumption is that he stayed with Peggy. I mean, we don't know for sure, but that's the assumption. No, we do know for a fact, right?
Because we had a wonderful...
So he goes and
he stays with Peggy.
He stays with Peggy. Literally goes against MCU's own established time travel rules. They say that, like, for Steve to have returned... the stones, he had to have returned them at the exact same time because changing anything created a new timeline. So for old man, for Joe Biden Steve to show up, he showed up,
he does kind of look like him.
He really did. But so for old man Steve to have shown up at the lake house at that time, like it doesn't make sense. Also, to return the time stones, how did he get to Asgard? He doesn't have a spaceship. How do you do that?
He doesn't have a Thor. He doesn't have a...
He doesn't have a... I mean, technically, he can use the hammer, as we found out, which was such a cool moment.
Love that.
Oh, my God. I literally was in the theater screaming. But how does he get to Asgard to return the stone there?
Like, what is he going to do? Call Heimdall to open up the Bifrost?
Yeah, exactly. Like, absolutely not. Like, it doesn't explain how he gets any of the stones back.
Because Heimdall's going to be like, who is this dude?
I don't know who you are.
Who are you?
Who is this man? And so for all of that to happen, it literally doesn't work with the MCU timeline. And also, if you're trying to say, like, so, like, Peggy was friends with the Starks. Are you telling me that no one realized that she was married to Captain America?
Also, it's really weird how, basically, he dated his niece.
Yeah, that's another thing. If we're believing how the MCU has decided this timeline, that he dated his niece. Whether by blood or just by marriage, he dated his niece.
Side note, though, speaking of Sharon, I'm not too big of a fan of her, but
I don't know. Her character just felt kind of just like forced. I don't know. They want to give Steve like a romantic, which okay, so I'll be real here. Bucky, it was his romantic equal in the movies. Okay,
we were Sarah's all for Stucky
number one.
To be honest, I wanted a little Winter Widow moment. But I am so for Winter Widow. It's there in the comics. But I'm also down for Stucky too. But anyway.
So it just doesn't make sense in the timeline. Because if for that Steve to have shown up back in that timeline, that would have meant that the timeline has been rewritten. And that also means that Captain America never existed in the current era. Which means, hey... Bucky shouldn't have escaped Hydra. Sam probably would not have ended up with the Avengers. And probably the world would also be destroyed because how many times did Steve save their asses? Like, I'm befuddled at how they went into a writer's room and wrote this and thought, yeah, this is a good idea. This is such a good ending. Because I get that they want to have a closure moment with Steve. But if Steve went back and did that, that is a new timeline. Steve's timeline ended when he went back in time to return the time stones, and that created a new timeline. He should not have been able to come back to the original timeline, but he did, and then he's just like around, I guess. That's like a retired Steve.
But I was, to be honest, if this was a live show, guys, you would have enjoyed. I enjoyed watching Sarah like crash out. That was hilarious. Okay, so I'm gonna tone it back down before we get like all angry again, because this will definitely be an anger topic. Speaking of the Winter Soldier, controversial take just to start this off.
Okay, I'm ready. Hit me.
I love Anthony Mackie.
Love him.
I love Sebastian Stan.
Yes.
I watched it for them and their dynamic, but if I'm gonna be honest, the show was kind of shit. It was kind of boring.
Yeah.
Gonna be honest. And obviously it shows the side of them that you don't see in the movies, which I do love. Because
that's kind of the whole point of the shows, right? Yeah.
Like that's what the headcanons were. That's a fan fiction, seeing them outside of the movie thing, which I loved. But like, I don't know, there was something that was like
something was
lacking.
Missing. Yeah.
Like, right? That didn't keep me engaged.
Yeah, I definitely like their banter was what kept me
going,
engaged in the show. Same. But like the actual plot, I was like,
right?
I honestly, you would ask me right now what the plot is, and I'd be like, I couldn't tell you.
And it's super soldiers, like, of course.
Yeah, like all I remember is like, I think it's when John Walker got introduced.
Sorry. Not to bandwagon, but I am on the John Walker hate train.
Oh, absolutely. I hate that guy.
I think a lot of people are. So I do agree with the fans that he was a well-written character who was supposed to be flawed.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that the actor did a good job.
If you hate the character, it means the actor did a good,
good
job.
A good job. Because I also think the actor did a good job of making him a jackass.
Absolutely.
And that's why I hate him so much. But also just generally, like, the personality that they gave John Walker is just really terrible.
Yeah.
He hides his insecurities through arrogance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just like, oh, like, do not fear, because I am here.
Yeah, I'm the best. And also the whole thing with the government, like, we're having a new Captain America. And then Sam's like, hey, so, like, actually, Steve left the shield to me. So just, like, by the way. And they're like, they're like, a black man, Captain America? I don't think so. And then Sam's just like, what? What are you talking about?
Like, literally,
I have the shield.
I gave you guys the shield to put up in a museum.
And then you gave it to this man.
Right.
Which also, Bucky's face when he saw John Walker with the shield.
I was laughing so hard because
my man
was
not having it. Not having a good time. He was like, what are you doing?
Every single time he showed up with like this like utmost arrogance of just like, oh,
so arrogant.
You like kind of like, you ladies all right? You like kind of like thing.
Yeah. Damsel in distress vibe. Where he's like, he's like a like white knight.
White. Yes. Quite literally. And the thing is like,
and also just a...
He's like, also not a super soldier.
He's not. He's just like a random guy.
A random guy.
And he's also just like a... He's just like a shell for the government.
And that's... And a shield for the government, too.
Basically, that's all he is.
Because he's... unlike Captain America, who was literally running away from the government...
And would fight against the government.
Fight against the government.
When you didn't agree with them.
John Walker, instead, is literally the government's puppet.
Exactly.
And that's the whole thing. And that's... Actually, to be honest, that's part of why I like... the way they wrote his character, because it's obviously the flawed government system.
Yeah.
But he's just so annoying. And what pissed me off was his crash out. That's the best way I could describe it.
It was a crash out.
Like, it was justified because he saw his friend being murdered, if you remember that episode.
I do.
But it was the fact that it was overkill, smashing the dude into pieces with Captain's shield. And the thing is, a little bit of a RTA media moment of analyzing the video. I see like Cap's shield as a symbol of peace, freedom, legacy, basically what Steve stood for. And to see that tainted with blood after him killing a man is like, that hit. And the fact that Sam and Bucky watched that happen
with the shield,
like, it broke my heart.
It did. Genuinely. I mean, how many times did that shield save both Bucky and Sam and Steve
Sam and Steve's lives? And
I mean, let's Steve's no Batman. He killed people.
He was in the war.
Like, he definitely decapitated some people with that shield, like a little swing. But something about how visceral it was with the blood
with him. Yeah.
It just ending also like. Because it wasn't Steve, it just felt like such a disrespect to Steve.
It's just because, like, leading up to that moment, we see John as, like, this arrogant, full of himself kind of thing. Because, yeah. Like, oh, I'm the next Captain America. Even with his insecurity, it's like, oh, I don't think, I'm not the next Captain America. I don't think I can be the next Captain America because of his insecurities.
Deserved insecurities.
So true.
Sorry.
It just led up to that moment and the constant like government watching over him. Mm-hmm. Like, it just added onto it. And it's just like, I'm sorry, dude. Like, I don't think you're cut out for this. And he wasn't.
He wasn't. And then he got his friend killed, but like.
But like.
Low key.
Like, also, I don't know. I feel like they were also, sorry.
No, okay, go ahead.
They were also trying to say that they were trying to push that same narrative of like Steve with his black best friend,
yeah.
John Walker with his black best friend.
I'm like, hey guys,
that kind of thing.
And like Tony had his black best friend. Why are the best friends always black? Right. What's up with that? What's up with that?
The silence says.
Yeah, silence says a lot, doesn't it?
Says a lot. Actually, didn't even realize that.
Yeah, I also just put it together with Rhodey. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, that crazy thing that Rhodey wasn't Rhodey for someone in the movies.
Like a Skrull, that actually breaks my heart.
That's kind of fucking me up and like mentally a little bit because when I think about it, because so much happened.
Rhodey didn't attend Tony's funeral.
Oh, I'll kill myself.
I'm sorry. Is that
so Rhodey doesn't know Tony's dead?
That's what I was thinking. That's what I'm theorizing. That
he probably doesn't.
Or didn't
until I'm like, oh yeah, by the way, your best friend's dead, and also it's really far in the future.
The thing is, people say that he got changed into a Skrull after Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some other stuff that he got changed, I think, either during or after Endgame. And I would like to think that it's after Endgame, because that's when
a little bit more time you can spend with his friend Tony.
And I like to also think with that theory, he knows that Tony's dead.
Yeah.
And also because after Endgame was when Maria and Nick Fury got switched with a Skrull. So I think
Yeah, no, that's a crazy theory, but...
Yes.
So yeah, closing thoughts. Marvel, hire us.
Closing thoughts. Marvel, hire us, because I honestly think that
we would do better.
We are what you need.
Yeah, we are what you need. And also, you can fill your diversity quota.
DEI.
RIP DEI.
And with that, this episode has been
reblogged.